chapter 10, last sermon of this particular series, Acts chapter 10, verses 22:34-36. And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you. Verse 34, opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Lord, I thank you for your power, your grace, your mercy. Help me, Lord, bring a word like only you can. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Amen. As you take your seat, I want to speak to you from the subject, game change. I don't know if we put the game changer or the outside game changer. I don't know. Something like that. The game changer. Well, I don't know what that is. What did we put for the title? I know it's in there because he sent it to me. Anyway, they sleep back there. The game changer. The outside game changer. So we are in chapter 10 in the book of Acts. This remarkable event takes place, pertains to everyone in this room, or at least 99% of us here. It is evident, it is an event that should be read in its entirety and appreciated by every church, because at this moment something took place for the very first time that altered your eternal destiny. It is a game changer. In Acts chapter 10, we find the very moment that the barrier between Jew and Gentile collapsed. It's like the Berlin Wall of the Bible. This was even bigger than that in the Berlin Wall, because this is when God grafted us into God's family tree. The moment Cornelius, a Roman officer, believed the gospel. Prior to this moment, the Jews were center stage. Cornelius is the first Gentile representing all of us who was granted eternal life. He's our pioneer, the first Gentile to get saved. In Romans 11, Paul is discussing how the Jews have been bypassed because of their unbelief in rejecting the Messiah. He said God gave them a spirit of stupor in Romans 11:8 and grafted all of us, the Gentiles, into the family tree of Israel. We look at Romans 8:17-21. He says, if some of the branches have been broken off, he's talking to us, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not consider yourselves to be superior to those other branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I can be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but tremble, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. So we need to begin to learn how to be a little more humble. I know people always get act like you all this and say the Jews don't believe this, the Jews don't believe that. God is saying, if I cut off my original people that didn't believe in me, then don't get it twisted. Don't act like you better. Don't put down people. Don't be anti-Semitic because you're trying to down other folk. If I cut them off because they didn't believe, the one that didn't believe, who are you? See, Paul gives it straight up. What happens here in Caesarea is a little hard for us to relate to in the 21st century church, but think about the visceral hatred that exists between the Middle East and between the Arabs and the Jews. And you will get a glimpse. See, this intense enmity, this hatred, this gives you a glimpse of how the Gentiles and the Jews felt about each other. See, God's elect were not supposed to talk to them. Peter is a key figure here in the book of Acts, one of the keys to the kingdom in Matthew 16:19, that would unlock the church to a whole new segment of the world, as he did on the day of Pentecost for the Jews in Acts 2. And later, that with the half-breed Samaritan in Acts 8, now God wants to include the Gentiles. And this was really hard for Peter. See, we see his lapse later with the Gentile interactions later on. So God had to do something special three times. It took a miracle to break the partition between these two groups. And that is precisely what God did with the double vision of Peter and Cornelius. Look, I'm going to just read the whole chapter. It ain't boring. Just listen to me. You ready to get some popcorn? At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. And now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down about to the earth by its four corners. It contains all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," this dirty. "I've never eaten anything impure, unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, 3 men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to them, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come for Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous man of God, a God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. And you know this bold, right? Because, you know, then the people that's trying to kill them. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had all together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with and visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent, I came without raising objection. May I ask why you called me?" Can I talk to you for a while? Everybody that want to, I ain't saying it's wrong. You do what you want to do. Everybody that want to eat pork for breakfast and pork for lunch and pork for dinner, pork for snacks. I ain't saying don't eat it. I ain't saying you can't, but I'm saying, see, Peter never got up, killed, and eat. And some people miss the vision and act like they want to eat anything they want to eat because they want to eat anything they want to eat because he said, "No, God said, get up, kill, and eat, Peter." But Peter never got up, killed, and ate. The vision was not about the food. God went to the extreme because Peter said, "I'm not going to eat this stuff." And God said, God was showing him, "Don't you call anything unclean that I made clean." But Peter didn't kill no reptile. Peter didn't eat none of the stuff that was not in Leviticus that told him in the Leviticus he couldn't eat. Because I'm going to just give you a health tip right quick. If you read Leviticus where they talk about the food, if you study that food, what you're not supposed to eat, you shouldn't eat it. It says it's not an abomination to your soul. He said it's an abomination to your body. So it ain't good for you. I'm saying, I know Thanksgiving, I'm going to eat all the stuff. Yeah, I'm telling y'all not to eat, but I ain't going to eat it after that. But I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? When I started losing my weight, y'all were loving me to death, literally. You hear me? Went from 185 to 215 in 30 days at New Beach Grove. But because I was getting up killing and eating everything y'all gave me. You hear me? But He said, Cornelius answered, 3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in my house of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are here, all of us in the presence of God, to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all. You know that what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in this country of the Jews and Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on the cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by the witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he was the one whom God had appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come to Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of them being baptized by water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. What a story. Can you imagine what people thought when they heard this? A Roman soldier who had been charged to subdue the Jews, especially the Christian Jews, received Christ. Peter, a Jew who held to so many of the Jewish traditions, had now broke the tradition to talk to a Gentile. And now he introduced the Gentile, the Christ, and welcome an outsider into the faith. See, until God touches your heart and fills you with the Holy Spirit, he can't trust you with anybody that don't look like you. Oh, y'all don't hear me what I'm saying. See, when you look at it, when they received the Holy Spirit, then he said that when they received the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, then he said, take this gospel from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the outer ends of the earth. So once you begin to get touched with the Holy Spirit, then you can talk to black people, white people, Hispanic people, Latino people. But see, when you don't have the Holy Ghost in you, you have that racism in you. When you don't have the Holy Ghost in you, you have that prejudice in you. When you don't have the Holy Ghost in you, you want to look at everybody. Y'all come on, somebody. Even though God saved you from the outside, you still can't let nobody in your mind. See, first of all, can I tell you, you're an outsider anyway because you're not an original Jew. So stop looking down your nose at people when they got their pants hanging down. Tell him to pull it up in love. Come on, somebody. Stop looking down at the woman with the short skirt because you true are an outsider. You just learned how to wear a longer one after you got saved. So stop acting like you got, look at how Paul described it in Ephesians 2, 14 through 16. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law which is commanded in regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in the one body reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Can I tell you what I believe theologically, what the revelation God gave me when I was preaching, when I was watching this? God had him stretched wide. They hung him wide and stretched him wide, but he had nails in this hand and nails in this hand. But on the cross, what they did, they crossed his legs and put one nail through his shins that put them both together. I believe that because the foundation of the gospel was the Jewish one, but then he crossed them together and put it together, reconciling the Jews and the Gentiles together, saying, it doesn't matter if you're an outsider or an insider, you're still a part of God's family. It doesn't matter if you're an outsider or an insider, when you are reconciled and when you are justified by faith, you are welcome into the family. So that one nail, he took it and said, I don't care if you're a Jew or a Gentile, I'm bringing you together. I don't care if you black or you white, Hispanic, red, blue, or green. I don't care if you're a foreigner. I don't care if you're a nationality. I don't care who you are. When I begin to go on the cross, I'm reconciling everybody to my Father, and I'm bringing everybody under one nation. What I'm tired of is this racism that keeps going on. Call it what you want. Call it politics all you want. The Republicans want to just be with the Republicans. The Democrats want to be with the Democrats, but nobody knows how to sacrifice their party for the people and God. Everybody want to act like it's a black thing and a white thing. No, it's a God thing and a devil thing. It's a good thing and an evil thing. It's a right thing and a wrong thing. Stop getting so caught up in color all the time, because God has reconciled all of us together. Either you with him or you against him. That's how I look at you. Can you picture this uniform, burly foreigner meeting Peter, the poor Jewish fisherman, a class of culture, wardrobe, mannerism, and speech, oil and water coming together. All of this stunned Peter, but not God. Remember what Jesus said in John 10:16, I have other sheep that are not in this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. I'm sure Peter remembered it though. And in Romans 10:20, Paul quoted Isaiah 65:1. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. So some people, you need to understand, you got to learn how to witness to people, because sometimes you will find them. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. They don't have to find you. See, so we this was nothing new. God had planned all along to make his salvation available to everybody. Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You see, y'all don't want to hear that, and that's, the devil does it so much, he calls all this divisiveness to make sure that we really can't enjoy the kingdom of God, because everybody has a different outlook of God. And see, in your finiteness, you cannot understand an infinite God all by yourself. I need what you know. 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 You need what I know. We all need to come together and study God, and stop looking at color. Stop looking at educational background. Stop looking at economic status. Stop looking at your Greek affiliation. What you need to understand, that we are all called to the fellowship of Jesus Christ. So stop acting like one group is better or beneath another. There's a lot going on here, but let's focus on two practical things. The first is divine appointments. What we see in this meeting is a divinely directed encounter. It is clearly God ordained. Before either man was born, God knew this would happen according to his perfect will. It was his divine appointment leading one man to salvation, a man who was devout and sought out God. Now, the meeting was extra special, as we have already said, because it opened up the gospel to us, the Gentiles, but it's something we can pray for in our own lives too, asking God to use us in the same way. Have you ever asked God for a divine appointment? There are other devout people like Cornelius who do not know Jesus. People in whose hearts God is at work preparing them to believe the gospel. They just need somebody to witness to them. Why not ask God each morning to bring you into their life? How would that affect your friendliness to strangers and hone your spiritual radar if you knew God was lining you up for divine appointments? You wouldn't cuss people out so quick. I ain't saying you ain't gonna fall every now and then, but you wouldn't do it so often if you understood that God was lining you up for a divine appointment. Every day, God wants to connect you with somebody to witness to every day. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." There is a work already prepared for you to do. You just need to do it. Just like when you go to your job on Monday, some of y'all sitting here right now knowing the job you got to do that you didn't finish on Friday, and you got to catch up and do it on Monday. Some of you already know what you got to do on Tuesday. Some of you already have an appointment on Thursday. Some of you have appointments next year, God willing, if you're still here. You need to understand the same way you have natural appointments, the same way God has divine appointments for you to do great and mighty things for his kingdom and to make sure you share the gospel to bring people out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Second point, dress is a common complaint God against God that unbelievers throw out all the time. What about the people in foreign lands? How can God throw them all in hell when they've never heard about Jesus? First of all, can I tell you something? America didn't give us religion. That's what we don't need to realize. I know we all talking about foreign lands. I'm using that in my sermon because I'm speaking from how we relate to the westernized culture that we think that we gave people God. We didn't give people God. God gave God to everybody. Come on, somebody. Last I read, when you look at the geography, most of this stuff happened in Africa. It ain't happened over here. I know we all talk about St. Augustine and all that. You know he was an African American. You know he was black, right? I'm just throwing it out there. I ain't trying to mess up. You know, I ain't trying to. You know, I'm just saying. The one thing about America is we think we gave everybody God, and we think if we don't tell them, they ain't got it. Can I tell America this? You did not give anybody God. You share the gospel just like other people share the gospels. Oh, yeah, you see, I'm just keeping it real. It's Christians everywhere. It's Christians everywhere. In fact, we always brag about being a Christian nation, one nation under God, but they don't even let us pray in school. Huh? When I go pray, you say one nation under God, and you say you a Christian nation, that what you say. And when I go, I got to make sure I take Jesus out when you call me to pray in the government buildings. You know, I got to write my prayer down and send it to you to make sure it meets your approval. As if I'm going to really read the same one I sent you, but I'm just saying. You're going to call me down there anyway. I'm saying. Keeping it 100. And I've been there more than once. They know who I am. So, do you know what the accusation really is? They're really saying God is partial, and he played favorites. Some are set up to lose, so he'll treat you unfairly. Well, we clearly see an example here of a foreigner who came to Christ in a miraculous fashion, an Italian soldier whose circumstances brought him to Israel and who believed the gospel. Sometimes this question is a smokescreen to get the heat off the gospel off them. Or it may be a genuine question, but you can tell how they ask. Use your discernment. Let's answer this objection so that next time when you're sharing the gospel on your divine appointment, you will be prepared to answer. Like Peter, 1 Peter 3:15 says that he always prepared you with an answer. Remember to always bring it back to them. The responsibility to make decisions about Christ is on them. It ain't on you. Perhaps something like this. Well, the foreigners are a hypothetical situation, but for you right now, today, you've heard the gospel and have enough information to make the decision. Is there any reason why you wouldn't accept Christ now? But let's consider the Pygmies in the deepest, darkest part of Africa who have no Bible, no church, no evangelist, nothing. How can they be saved, and how can God be righteous to throw them into hell? Because it's coming. So let's examine this question. First of all, God does not throw anybody in hell. He lovingly made a bloody bridge with a huge guardrail by his son's death on the cross to get us over the hell's chasm. But we choose to jump off the bridge. God does not throw anyone over there. Think of it like training your children. You give your children rules. Don't play with the electrical sockets. Don't leave your toys on the floor. Don't do all these different things. I gave you these rules, and don't do this. Don't put your food on the floor. Put it in the trash can. You tell them all this stuff, and you communicate it. If your child chooses to break the rules, you punish them, right? But if they go by the rules, they can live on happily. That's the same thing God do. He gave us rules. He gave us the word and told us what we need to do. Now, when you break it, he got to punish you. But even in his extreme, with his extreme loving heart, he still gave you Jesus to walk down 40 and 2, burning generation, robe himself in the flesh, come out Emmanuel, God is with us, to come to propitiation for our sins. He did all this for us just because he knew we really couldn't pass the test. But again, what about the pygmies? Let's establish what we know from the Bible, remembering that the Bible is your authority. It's a weapon. Let me look at Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. See, if possible, actually hand them a Bible. See, it's a powerful weapon. Even if they don't believe, so what? Even if they deny the power, so what? All right, okay, say they deny the power. All right? Chief, I know you understand that because you was in war. So look, I ain't threatening you now. I'm just talking to you. All right? So if I give them a Bible, even if they don't believe, it still got power. Yeah, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. And see, some of y'all say they don't believe. It's power. You can feel the power of the Bible when you grab it. Now you consider that I can have a gun pointed at you, and you cannot believe in the power of the bullets in the gun if I pull the trigger. But if I pull the trigger, it's still going to affect your life. Right? Even if you deny the power that the gun not loaded, the gun not real, the gun not going to kill me. Remember Denzel? You can't kill me. I'm the police. They killed him, though. Training day, y'all, because some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all real Christians don't watch that, but if Denzel in the movie, I'm going to watch it. But the thing about it, it's going to affect you. So when you give them the Bible, it affects them. Even if it don't affect them right then, something begins to work in them. Look at this. Here's what I know about this biblically true about God's salvation. This is what I know. God is just and fair, Genesis 18:25. God does not show favoritism, Acts 10:34. He promises to be found by seekers, Jeremiah 29:13. God wants all to be saved, 1 Timothy 2:3-4. God loves us, John 3:16. God's creation is proof he exists, Romans 1:19-20. God gave everyone a conscience, Galatians 5:19-21. We all know we're guilty of doing wrong, Romans 3:23. We all have a degree of light, Acts 10:1-2. See, from these truths, we can establish that God is fair and has promised that he will make himself found by anyone who seeks him, whether pygmies in a jungle found a plane crash with Bibles and missionaries, or in Caesarea when Cornelius has a vision, or if Kanye goes sing the gospel at churches. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I ain't saying he's saved. I ain't saying he not saved. What I am saying is God said, if you don't worship me, I make the rocks cry out. Can I talk to you for a minute? Sometimes God can talk to rocks and rocks can cry out, but you got to look at the figuratively speech that he gives sometimes. Sometimes God talks in metaphoric messages. He's really talking to the Jude and saying, Jude, if you don't accept me, I make the rocks cry out. Church, if you keep bowing down and watering down your gospel and stop trying to tell the truth, I'll bring a Kanye to church and make him speak it more truth than you. I tell you right now, church folk, if you ain't bold enough to speak against sin, I raise a Kanye up to come teach the gospel at churches. If you won't go to the hip-hop club, I send Kanye. If you won't go to the prostitute, I send Kanye. If you won't go, I send Kanye to do your job. I get the gospel to people. If you want to be all uppity with yourself, acting like you always had a long dress on. When you didn't have a cellulite, it wasn't long. You act like you always had a suit on. Come on, somebody. You will walk around like Ike Turner when your chest looked right. But can I talk to somebody right now? If you won't go do it, God will get the gospel to somebody somewhere. He'll get it to the club. If you won't go put flyers on people's cars at the club, he'll see it Kanye. If all y'all don't hear me right now, I know the church getting mad at me right now. But I'm keeping it 100. People used to get mad why we do comedy and why we do comedy for New Year's Eve, because I know you're going to be at church Sunday anyway. If you don't come and be mad, I don't care. I'm looking for the worldly folk. I'm looking for the folk that I'm trying to keep off the street. I'm looking for the people that I'm trying not to get drunk that night and go home safe. I'm trying to keep somebody here long enough not to get so high out of their mind and do something stupid. You need to learn how to throw some bait to somebody and stop getting mad, because the reason why God had begun to make the rocks cry out like Kanye is because the church won't go to the highways and byways and do what the church is supposed to do. Peter was like, I ain't eating nothing unclean. God said, you better stop calling stuff unclean that I made clean. Stop looking down on folk because of their frailty. You frail too. You just know how to hide your stuff with your messed up life. Came in here, only thing you did was spray on a scent of praise. You smell like your life good, but your life messed up just like everybody else's. You just don't learn how to mask it now. Sermon just went somewhere else, but I'm trying to talk to you right now. If you don't cry for Jesus the same way God went from the Jews to the Gentiles, he'll go from the church to the daggone hip-hop nation if you don't start doing what you're supposed to do. I ain't judging one way or the other, but I am saying, I know Jesus said the rocks will cry out. And I believe I hear the rocks crying out right now. I hear the rocks crying. T.I. from the ATL, I love you, T.I. I ain't talking about you, but I got to use you for an example. T.I. got upset. She's talking about, that's all right. You don't even know if he's all right with it. I'll just mess with it. But T.I. got mad because he felt like they were raising too much offering. And he got mad, felt like he was getting extorted. I'm not saying his feelings weren't genuine, but I'm saying he wouldn't have been at church if Kanye wasn't there. Huh? I mean, he might go to church, but he wouldn't have been at that church at that time. You feel what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is, when Peter was told, get up, kill, and eat, he didn't ever eat the unclean food. But then when Cornelius came to get him, he understood God was really preparing him to talk to Cornelius. So stop acting like people unclean that God made clean. You can't judge anybody. I don't know if he doing right or wrong, but I know I got a messed up life just like everybody else. I just get up here every Sunday and preach because that's what God called me to do. Can I talk to somebody for a little while? Church folk, unchurched folk, Jews, Gentiles, black, white. One thing the Bible says is that we all fall short of the glory of God. Some of our lives are messed up just like Kanye. It's just we ain't on Good Morning America. We ain't on TV, so nobody knows our mess. Our mess is still hiding in the dark. But the minute you start judging people, God will bring that dark stuff into the light and reveal your mess of life. You just need to be thankful that God gave you grace, because you ain't no better than Kanye. Rocks will cry out. The rocks will cry out because the church not doing its job. The rocks will cry out. because we won't speak against sin. The rocks are crowd because we ain't going to the club. The rocks are crowd because we not witnessing to our neighbor. The rocks are crowd because we ain't witnessing to the cable guy. The rocks are crowd because we ain't witnessing to the rappers. The rocks are crowd because we ain't going to talk to the actors. The rocks are crowd because we ain't going to the school. The rocks are crowd because we ain't going into prison. And God said, I'll make a plane crash in the midst of the jungle to get some missionary Bible to somebody. I do whatever I need to do, because if my church won't go, I send the rocks out. They may do it for money. They may be doing it to exploit the gospel. But Paul says this, I don't care why they doing it, as long as they doing it for Jesus. I don't care why they doing it, as long as they call it the name of Jesus, because God will judge the living and the dead. So let me talk to the church people, because people keep asking me what I think about Kanye, so I guess it's coming out in this sermon. But I ain't right but one line about him. It done took a whole life of its own. People get asking about Kanye. Can I tell you this? I ain't never met Kanye. I don't know Kanye. So I don't know what Kanye think. Sometimes I don't know what I think. Why are you shaking your head so hard? You know what I'm saying? She wanted to say that. Yeah, you right. Change your mind every time. I can't judge whether he's doing it for the right reason or the wrong reason. But I know Paul said he don't care why you're doing it, as long as they're doing it in Jesus' name. In fact, Jesus didn't care why they were doing it, why they were living. But I mean, he did say to some of them people, you know, get ye behind me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity, even though they preach the gospel. But sometimes us preachers be preaching the gospel for the wrong reason. Sometimes we preaching it for some old bling. Can I keep it 100? Sometimes we preach for the wrong reason. Sometimes we preach to be seen. Huh? Sometimes we preach because of the platform, we can get out whatever we want to say. Sometimes even we doing it for the wrong reasons, but I try to make sure I do it for the right reason, because James says it's a hotter place in hell for me if I lead you wrong. Yeah. These lights hot. Me trying to be cute and put my little vest on, it's hot. But it's hotter in hell. And so, I don't want to be judged, even though God said you're going to be judged more harsh, but he ain't even talking about my haters, he talking about him. I don't want to be judged and the judgment come true, so I don't judge Kanye. I don't know why Kanye doing it, but I do know it got something to do with God, because God don't care if you do something genuinely or not, it's going to get done. You hear me? It's going to get done, whether you're doing it for a good reason or a bad reason. But anyway, let me go out here. So, the thing about it is, it's a flagrant lie that God sends people to hell unjustly, because God is reaching a whole different body of people with Kanye. God reached a whole different body of people with Cornelius. I'm sure they looked at Peter like, you selling out. You was mad at Paul when he was going. And he was supposed to be going to talk to the Gentiles. And you getting, here you go, going to Cornelius' house. You sell out, you. Why you doing? Why it's nice service when you ain't got no gospel singers? Well, we do got gospel singers, but people just say half the story. And the funny thing is, now they're doing what we do, which is good. Because I ain't looking for church folk. I'm looking for unchurched folk. Church folk at church. They already saved. Even the mean ones. They know Jesus. So, you know, they gonna, you know, probably be there right with you. I'm gonna be nice to all of them. So when they go to him, like, remember you did? Like, I know you don't remember all that stuff. But anyway, let me get out of here. Now, the God. I'm almost done. I'm helping, boy. You helped me the whole sermon. I ain't getting no check, though. I can't help it, man. I'm sorry. It's something. You're helping me. I appreciate you, though, bro. Acts 17, 24 through 28. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he's not served by human hands as if needed, is he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they may should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. God is not far away from us. Whether in the jungles, Caesarea, or Tibet, we have no excuse, Romans 1:20 tells us. I'm going to give y'all two things, and I'm done. Seriously, I am. One, pray for divine appointments. Ask God to bring you sovereignly into relationships at work, at school, and in your neighborhood where you can share the gospel with genuine seekers. Two, be prepared to give an account. Know the gospel and some answers used to common objections. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Peter 3:15. 1 Peter. So in closing, ask God for divine appointments. He's preparing you and turning you so you can be able to share it. Do that, please. Ask God to give you an opportunity like a Cornelius, like a Kanye, like a T.I., like somebody. Ask him. Ask him to do that. But the thing about this, even if you don't know the answer, it's good to say, I don't know. If they ask you certain questions, be like, I get back with you. But know the gospel works. He died for your sins. It works. It's power in the gospel. For he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that you should not perish but have everlasting life. He did. Give them the gospel. It works. See, this is what I learned when I was doing real estate. When I first started doing real estate, I kept trying to go in because I didn't think the script worked. I kept trying to go in to get a house listed. And then I was like, man, this stuff don't work. And this old school dude said, dude, it worked. You just don't know the script. You keep trying to ad-lib. All you got to do is go by the script. He said, I'm going to go to one of your listens. So he went to me to listen. He said, all right, watch this. He did the script, got me listening. You know, I gave him half the money because he didn't have me. But he walked me through the script, and the script worked. All I had to do was read the script. I kept trying to be fancy. I kept trying to be Michael Jordan on a script. All I had to do was shoot the layup. Stop trying to be fancy. Then shoot the layup. Jesus died so you may not perish. That's all you got to do. It's not hard. Know the story and know it well. And don't worry about ad-libbing. Because why? God will bring to your remembrance what you need to say as long as you know the story. Every time the old school preacher will get up and say he died on Friday, stayed in the grave all night Friday, stayed in the grave all day Saturday. But early in the morning, he got up with all power in his hand. It don't matter how many times we say it, it's still true. I don't care how many times you do it. The people still clap their hands because it's not your, it's not what you say. It's not by might nor by power. But it's by his spirit, says the Lord. So can I go old school right quick? Hey, they hung him high. They stretched him wide. They hung him on the cross. Deacon McClendon, he stayed on the cross for 3 hours, from the sixth to the ninth hour. They took him down. They buried him on Friday. He stayed in the grave all day Friday. All day Saturday, but early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. Hey! He'll do it. In fact, he's already done it. He's already redeemed you. He had Cornelius and his family speaking in tongues before they even got baptized. You keep trying to put stuff in the order you want to be in. Stop trying to package how people get saved. People wonder why you ain't got nothing to say about this Kanye thing. Because I ain't God. If you want to hear what I said, listen to the sermon, because I don't know half the stuff I said myself. There's some people that need to be reached by you. That some people won't go to because they act like they ain't good enough to be saved. That's how some people are. Can I keep it 100? We all fall short of his glory. And I need some young folk, some old school folk, some veteran saints, some freshman saints, some rookies, some middlers, it don't matter what you are, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody. But right now, under the sound of my voice, whether you're on Facebook or whatever social media platform you may be watching, I need you to understand that Jesus still saves. I need you to know, no matter how messed up your life is, there was a quote that went out on my thing that I don't know if I said, I don't think I said, I don't know if the social media put it out, and it says, the biggest roadblock that you may have is your past. I immediately took that down. I don't make all my posts because I don't believe that. Your past has nothing to do with your future. Your past has absolutely nothing to do with your future. Your past does not care about your future does not care about your past. God erases all that stuff. He redeems you. Is there one that wants their past erased? That wants to say, I don't want to live in the world anymore. I want to come out of darkness into the marvelous light. Is there one that wants to accept Jesus Christ right now with the name of Jesus? Is there one?